So at the beginning of the church year, we look at the life of our Savior Jesus Christ, and it begins with the ministry of John the Baptizer. And so our gospel reading is from Mark chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It's interesting how Mark just cuts to the chase. John does as well, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they're the synoptic gospels. They tell the story of Jesus differently than John does. And while they kind of build the story, John just cuts to the chase of it. It's fascinating how the gospels are all a little different, but they are all true, and they share with us the message of our Savior Jesus. So, Mark chapter 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all of Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." Please be seated. In the name of Jesus, amen. You and I have a God unlike any other God in all the gods of this world. And frankly, all the other gods are not gods at all, they're idols. But our God is a God of comfort and care. And we need that. Because we live in a world where, well, how do we identify it? How should we diagnose it? I think it's just simple to say we live in a world where there's plenty of pressure and stress. Amen? I mean, it's the order of the day. In so many ways. But really, this is nothing new. Even in our Old Testament reading that we heard moments ago, Isaiah describes our world, not just his world. What's interesting about Isaiah is he uses a lot of rich picture language, metaphor, figure of speech, and then he says plainly what he means. Although he spent a lot of time with these rich pictures of high places, low places, and making places straight, he's really talking about the human condition, your life and my life. We can be so filled with pride. We can be so sunken with despair. We can be so crooked when the way that we deal with things. And God knows that. And that's why in chapter 40, God says, "Comfort, comfort my people." Says it twice, comfort, comfort. And then he calls us, quote, "my people." He claims us. Not everybody wants to claim us. God does. He claims us as his own because he knows what we need. Because in so many ways we can be so broken. Oh, there can be those moments of pride and thinking that nothing can knock us down, and then all of a sudden we're at the bottom thinking, what happened? And then we can be whipped around in so many different ways. That's the way our world is. And God knows it. And he knows what we need. And he says to Isaiah long ago, "Comfort, comfort my people." Why? Because we live in a world of pressure and stress. Now, we could argue that some of it is our own doing. Amen? And some of it we blame on others, right? But however you slice it and dice it and evaluate it, it's pressure and it's stress. It's incredible highs and incredible lows and being whipped around every which way but loose. But it's to us God speaks. You know, it's interesting. We're really a desert. And God wants to turn us into something more than waste places. And that's all those metaphors that God uses at the beginning of Isaiah 40. And then he says plainly, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. Yes, pressure and stress is the order of your life and my life. And it wears us out so that we give up and give in and say that's the way the cookie crumbles. But then God says the word of God will stand forever. Now that's good news. That's the beginning of comfort for you and for me. And that's what God intends, because he's our God of comfort and care. Look at what he says to Isaiah. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended. You know, it's as if it's already done. And God wants them to take comfort in it. No matter what they see with their eyes, no matter how they evaluate what's going on with their hearts and minds, God wants them to receive this comfort. Of course, there would be a war. There would be a battle. But it's as good as done. Some 700 years before the actual battle took place, when Christ came and did what we could never do, and then faced the sentence of God's wrath in our place, that battle would be won, and it is now ours so that we have peace. It's fascinating to think about how when God makes promises, they're as good as done. So different from your life and my life. When God makes those promises, they are as good as done. And that's why we have peace. Even if there's plenty of life for you and for me to live, we have peace right now with God. It's done. Because God kept his promise. God says that her iniquity is pardoned, sin forgiven. Your iniquity and my iniquity is pardoned. It's not holding on to us anymore. You know what's amazing about this good news is we're so used to living in a world that's filled with pressure and stress that we think that's the only thing there is. And it's to this world of pressure and stress that God comes to do something, to give us this good news. And this good news, in a sense, always comes from outside of us to us. That's why we need a preacher. That's why we need to hear the message coming from someone else so that we can be renewed in this good news. Because after a while, we can start just thinking that we're just sinners and that we have to pay the price for all the ways that we have failed. But that's not true. The truth is this: iniquity pardoned. Now, I alluded to this earlier about receiving double measure and how hard that can be to understand. Well, are you ready to see what I mean? The next thing, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all of her sins. I mean, this is almost mind-blowing. It is mind-blowing for me to think that for all the ways that I have fallen short and failed God, I get double blessing. That's not fair. Thank God, God's not fair. Think about it. For all the ways that you have fallen short, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. You're forgiven, and God's going to bless you double. Gosh, how's that work? How in the world can we figure that out? That just seems so impossible. It sounds too good to be true. But that's the truth. It's hard to do the math. It's hard to figure it out. And there may be places in your life and my life where we look and we say to ourselves, how could I have been so stupid? Why in the world did I do that? That was just so ungodly. You still want to beat yourself up. Well, forget about it. Leave it go from now on because you're getting double blessing instead. Gosh, how can we figure that out? That's the gospel. And the gospel is meant to blow us away. It's meant to give us a comfort that's so rich and deep beyond measure. But it's more than just God giving us comfort. It's God blessing our lives. This is our God, our of comfort and care, and he's promised. He is the promise maker. And he is the promise keeper. He's also the promise fulfiller. And all of this makes us the promise receivers and the promise believers. Because God can be trusted. You know, Isaiah speaks of God's promises long ago. We're like 2,700 years after this. And about 700 years after this, God fulfilled these promises. He has kept these things. He has done them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And these are ours to receive again today. You know, sometimes we gather battered and smashed, but here there's comfort for us to receive and to believe in Jesus. Going on, we heard this. Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with young. Be encouraged, young parents. You've got a shepherd who will care for you. Be encouraged, all you. We have a shepherd who will tend us because we're his flock. This is a picture of his care for us. This is what he's been doing in your life and my life and promises to do, especially where we wonder, Lord, where are you? In fact, he can handle that. But then he wants us to take him at his word. And he wants us to believe that he will care for us. You know, in a way, we can say today, with all these promises given, and promises kept, and promises fulfilled, we can receive these promises early. Christmas comes early. Because these are the presents that have been given already under a different kind of Christmas tree. The one outside of Jerusalem. On the hill called Calvary. So open them up right now. Apply them to your lives wherever it hurts. Trust that God is a God of comfort and care. And rejoice. God is awesome. I know. That's the third Sunday of Advent with the rose-colored candle that we light, the joy candle, rejoice candle. But let's rejoice a little early, liturgically speaking, and celebrate the fact that God is awesome. Because our God is a God of comfort and care. Now, how he does all this, it's hard for us. Like I said earlier, it's beyond measure. It's beyond us to even figure out in a lot of ways. How in the world do we get double for all of our sin? Double blessing, double gifts from God. Pardons our iniquity. And he shepherds us, cares for us, carries us, and helps us with our little ones. We don't know how, but who knows? God does. Who will see that he'll keep his promises and fulfill them in your life and my life? God will. Because he's the promise maker and the promise keeper and the promise fulfiller. Rejoice. God is awesome. In the name of Jesus, amen.